The fear of being buried alive haunts some of us so much that centuries ago, people would request their heart be cut out to ensure death before burial. They had a plan, made their requests known. But when a 20-year-old woman died in Pikeville, Kentucky in May of 1891, there was no effort to ensure she had passed on. Months after her burial, her husband was said to have suspected that a mistake had been made. This is the legend of Octavia Hatcher. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. How long could you survive if your nightmare of being buried alive became a grim reality? Popular Science asked experts this question and found that scientists estimate a healthy person could survive anywhere from 10 minutes to 36 hours should they end up buried in a coffin and lowered 6 feet under prematurely. Your survival time would depend on the amount of air available in the coffin and the amount of oxygen you require. The smaller the person, the longer they survive because they require less space in the coffin, which affords more room for oxygen. We can only imagine that a person buried alive would make every attempt to survive. Our natural fight or flight response kicks in. Yet the more a person fights, the more oxygen is required. It's a horrific situation to imagine. But plenty of us have thought of it. Some of us are haunted by the fear that this could happen to us. Taphophobia, the fear of being buried alive, may seem like an irrational fear in our day and age because it's almost impossible for this to happen now. But in recent years, some people have come close. Walter Williams was pronounced dead in February of 2014 in his home state of Mississippi. Paperwork was completed and his body was transferred to a funeral home. The coroner, who had confirmed him dead, noticed the bag was moving. He unzipped the body bag and was shocked when he realized Walter Williams was breathing. The coroner's explanation for the mistake was that Walter's had a defibrillator implanted in his chest, which he assumed jump-started his heart after he had been pronounced and placed in that body bag. As Mr. Williams put it, a little too close to being buried alive. His family knew he was ill and their time would be limited with him. 2 weeks later, Walter Williams really did die. Now, Walter escaped the horror of being placed in a coffin and buried 6 feet under, a mistake that was more common centuries ago before the notion of a coma or sleeping illnesses were identified by the medical community. In fact, in 17th century England, a woman experienced the terror of being buried alive twice. Long ago, when a person was believed to have died, a doctor would hold a mirror to their nose to determine if breathing had stopped. This was the case in July of 1674 when a doctor was called to an English village to care for Alice Blunden. Alice became ill after she consumed a large amount of poppy tea. The tea was made from dried poppy seed pods that contained codeine and morphine. Alice would fall unconscious, and when the doctor arrived, he tested her breathing with a mirror, and she was pronounced dead. The day after Alice was buried, children playing in the graveyard heard strange sounds. They realized the sounds were coming from the fresh grave. They moved closer and heard moans and screams. The terrified children ran to find their schoolmaster, who returned to find that Alice Blunden was alive. He called for help to exhume her grave. It would take graveyard diggers almost a day to get to her coffin. When they opened it, they saw a near-lifeless Alice who was bloody and bruised from her attempts to escape her underground prison. A strange decision was made to return Alice to her coffin because she was already close to death. A guard was to stand watch overnight at her grave, but he deserted his post. With no one there to hear her, Alice woke up again and must have screamed for help. When someone found her the next morning, her burial clothes were torn, and she was covered in fresh blood from what appeared to be attempts to once again escape the presumption that she was dead and about to be buried again. Sadly, by the time the discovery was made, Alice Blunden was dead. Alice never imagined she would be the victim of such a tragedy, had no time to plan or try to escape. Some people who feared being buried alive left their family and friends specific instructions, planned for their escape, should a mistake be made. One such man lived in South Carolina's St. Helena Parish. Dr. Perry worked in the parish in the early 19th century. The official guide to the parish cemetery notes the doctor requested an above-ground tomb due to his fear of being buried alive. He left his family the following instructions. If I pass away, bury me with a jug of wine, a loaf of bread, and a pickaxe. Should I wake up and find myself inside, I shall drink the wine, eat the bread, and dig myself out. When the doctor contracted yellow fever and died in 1845, his family honored his request, but as time passed, they knew he was really gone. They were comforted by knowing they had done all they could do to help him, should a mistake have been made. This was not the case for a family in Pikeville, Kentucky. Now, the mention of Pikeville might immediately make you think of feuding families, the Hatfields and McCoys. This region in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains was home to these families who feuded for well over 20 years. Their feud ended generations ago, but their legend looms large over Pikeville. Another legend of Pikeville is that of Octavia Hatcher, a young woman who was said to have been buried alive in 1891. Now, some folks say Octavia's story is just pure nonsense. Others believe it's the story of an innocent young woman imprisoned in her own grave. Octavia Smith was born in Pikeville, Kentucky on May 21, 1870. The daughter of Jacob and Pricey Smith was part of a well-respected and successful family. Jacob Smith owned a local dry goods store and was one of the original Pikeville settlers. In 1889, Octavia met James Hatcher. They were married on December 18th of that year. She was 19, he was 30. Just over a year later, on January 4th, 1891, 20-year-old Octavia gave birth to their first child, who was named for her father, Jacob. The joy of welcoming their first child would turn to sorrow when, within hours of birth, Jacob died. A devastated Octavia fell into a deep depression. She was so ill by that April that she became bedridden. Her condition seemed to worsen, and the doctor, who saw her, noted that it seemed to be more than just sadness making her sick. Within weeks, Octavia Hatcher slipped into a coma. James Hatcher had been shattered by the loss of his son. On May 2, 1891, he was forced into a new kind of grief when his beloved wife, Octavia, died. It was an unusually warm spring in Pikeville, and James agreed Octavia should be buried quickly. The loss of Octavia lingered heavy over the town, not only because of her youth and a life cut short, but the town feared their loved ones who had become ill soon after Octavia died would face the same fate. Weeks after Octavia was buried, other people in town became ill with what was described as a sleeping disease. The person who was afflicted would fall into a coma, but time and time again, with patience of doctors and the care of their loved ones, those who became ill would wake up. It would take days for some, weeks for others, but they would get better. Watching this happen over and over again haunted James Hatcher. It's the what ifs that can drive us to the brink. He kept asking himself, what if Octavia had not died? What if Octavia had suffered from the same sleeping disease? What if the doctors made a mistake in declaring his wife dead. James Hatcher had to know. He requested his wife's grave be exhumed so he could investigate. Folks say what James saw when that casket was raised and opened would haunt him for the rest of his life. When the casket was opened, he saw that his wife's face had a horrified and contorted expression. Her fingernails were broken and appeared bloody. He was shocked when he saw that the lining of her casket had been ripped, shredded, as if someone had tried to claw their way out from 6 feet below. James Hatcher was convinced he had hastily arranged a funeral and burial for the love of his life, who was still alive when she was lowered into the ground on burial day. He had suffered so much loss within a matter of months, and his grief was compounded by what he must have felt to be his failure to protect his wife from a tragic end. Octavia Hatcher would be reburied, and within a year, the Daily Review ran a piece about a unique tombstone in Pikeville. The article described the new life-size statue of Octavia Hatcher that James had ordered after he reburied his love. The piece in the Daily Review noted the marble memorial was the exact height of Octavia and a perfect likeness of her, complete with a fashionable dress Octavia is holding with one hand as she held a parasol in the other. The memorial that stands in the cemetery today has been damaged. An arm is missing, but the monument to Octavia towers above those buried nearby as if watching over them, watching over her baby Jacob, who's buried at her feet. Legend says Octavia's grave is haunted. Locals tell of the sound of a woman screaming and crying in the graveyard, often around the anniversary of the day Octavia died. Those who live near the cemetery swear it's Octavia's tortured spirit reliving the moment every year, the moment she awoke and realized she was imprisoned in a casket and tried to fight her way out. There have also been countless stories of Octavia's monument spinning. Local lore says this happened because Octavia was angry at the town, angry at the people who allowed her to be buried alive and die in such a horrific way. That's why her monument would occasionally spin on the anniversary of her death. She wanted to turn her back on Pikeville because the town turned its back on her, left her there to die. That is what legend would have you believe. But we all know legends are curious. They can inspire us, but they can also trick us. The statue of Octavia Hatcher happened to stop spinning when the Hatcher family decided they had had enough of legend and lore in Pikeville. They erected a fence around Octavia's monument to keep trespassers away. Since then, Octavia's monument hasn't been known to spin. Likely because Octavia's grave has been a popular spot for local college students and teenagers who would spend time at the cemetery drinking and trying to scare one another. Some of them were known to spin the monument on the anniversary of Octavia's death. Once they couldn't access the grave, it stopped spinning. It seems the legend of Octavia Hatcher's premature burial and her attempts to release herself from an early grave may have been fabricated as well. Pikeville, Kentucky was a quiet town when Octavia died in 1891, which begs the question, if Octavia was buried alive, wouldn't it have been major news in local and surrounding papers? Jamie Rubio is an author who has invested a lot of time and effort in researching this legend. She's written that it seems strange to her that after extensive research, she couldn't find a single newspaper article or mention of Octavia Hatcher's death or any strange occurrences surrounding it. Jamie also makes the point that when James Hatcher died in 1939, the successful and wealthy businessman's obituary was carried in many papers. The only mention of Octavia was that he had been married and his wife died young. Now, there's a theory as to why there is no mention of the horrific story at the time Octavia died. It involves the stuff of all good legends, a good old-fashioned cover-up. You'll remember Octavia's family were original settlers of Pikeville. Octavia and James's marriage united two families in the business world of Pike County, Kentucky. It's been suggested that Octavia was indeed buried alive, but newspapers were paid to cover up the mistake and never mention it, lest the story make the area look unstable and somehow damage business in the town. But you would have to pay reporters from a lot of newspapers a lot of money to get them to agree to cover up this story, a story this big in a small town in 1891. What you can't cover up or prevent are the locals who talk about events that unfold in their region. This lore, whether true or not, has become ingrained in the very fiber of Pikeville, Kentucky. We'll never know if Octavia Hatcher was really buried alive, but we know one man's fear of meeting this end fueled this tale through the years. James Hatcher. James Hatcher's wealth and success increased in the decades following the death of Octavia. He made smart investments in coal mining, transportation, and real estate. Hatcher built the Pike Hotel in downtown Pikeville, and by 1931, he had built the James Hatcher Hotel on Main Street. When Hatcher passed away in 1939, the Pike News detailed the hotel and its unique features in the obituary they printed. The Hatcher Hotel was one of the most fascinating buildings in Pikeville history. Pikeville's Main Street project notes that the Hatcher Hotel was constructed of what was known as fireproof brick, had modern-day amenities like ice-cold running water and top-notch security. And the hotel became the social capital of the community during its heyday. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt visited the hotel in July of 1934. She saw what so many guests would see as they walked into the spacious lobby of the Hatcher Hotel, a small museum telling the story of the Pike County region, and the walls of the lobby covered with all the local history and lore that James Hatcher was fascinated with. Local facts combined with some of his favorite mottos and philosophical sayings. On a wall in the front lobby, you'd also see a photo of Octavia Hatcher. James Hatcher was by no means a boring or typical sort of man. People liked him, but by all accounts, he seemed, well, a little quirky, and the type of man who said what was on his mind, which was reflected in the sayings on his wall, including one which read, "All towels, linens, bedding, and fixtures in this hotel are mine. I want no more mistakes made when packing to leave. This practice is no longer considered a joke with me." Straight to the point and not messing around, that was James Hatcher. The Pike News obituary also noted a curious artifact James Hatcher displayed at the hotel, a specially designed coffin, said to be James Hatcher's, that was designed to prevent him from being buried alive. These so-called safety coffins became popular in the 19th century. They came equipped with coffin alarms to allow unfortunate souls who were buried prematurely to breathe underground and signal for help to ensure their escape. Some included ladders, should you find someone willing to uncover the earth above you and need assistance to climb out of your grave. The coffin James Hatcher displayed in his museum may be the reason we're still talking about the legend of Octavia Hatcher today. Whether Octavia's story was true or not, the fear of being buried alive was real for James Hatcher. Jamie Rubio made an important point as she researched the story of Octavia and James Hatcher. The focus is, of course, on Octavia and her untimely death, whether she died before or after she was buried. Her loss was tragic. A positive aspect of her story is the life her husband led following his loss. James Hatcher never married again. It seems he could never bring himself to love another woman. His only son died months before he lost his Octavia. But James Hatcher's obituary noted that he was known to most folks in Pike County as Uncle Jim, a great man with a good heart who never refused a lodger even if they didn't have money to pay. James Hatcher's nephews, Jack and Joe Trimble, were operating the Hatcher Hotel in 1959. They were interviewed for a feature on the hotel in the Victoria, Texas Advocate. They shared that Uncle Jim would gladly help people out by giving them a place to stay and giving them money. But he made it awkward because sometimes he would cuss them out after he was kind to them. They said that was just Jim being Jim. Examples of his good heart were literally painted on the walls of the Hatcher Hotel. During the Great Depression, he would occasionally come across a painter who was drifting from town to town to try to find work and food. Uncle Jim would hire the painter to work on a few quotes on the wall of the hotel. Their payment would be a comfortable night's stay in the Hatcher Hotel. Uncle Jim may have lost his only son, but he did raise 7 children, his nephews and nieces. He used his wealth to care for them and put them all through school. He told them they had to write him every week to keep him updated on how they were doing. The quirky part of Uncle Jim came out when he got those letters, because Jack said his Uncle Jim would correct the letters and send them back to him. In one letter, Jack wrote that he was homesick and ready to come home. His uncle refused, but again, James Hatcher's unique way of showing his kind heart literally showed up at the boarding school. James said a few days later, a truck arrived at the school with his horse and dog from back home so he could be at home while he was away. Uncle Jim was always known to tell tall tales, and he was quick to answer when people had questions about the history of the region. He knew it well and loved to share. You can't help but wonder if he would appreciate that his beloved wife is remembered all these years after she passed. But it also leaves you wondering how he would feel knowing that her face and name have become attached to tales of horror and hauntings. On March 11th, 1939, just 6 months before his death, an article about James Hatcher's love story with Octavia appeared in Louisville's Courier-Journal. The piece, called The Romantic Story, told of James' decision to never remarry and his life in the years after Octavia passed. He was interviewed for the story, and there was no mention of Octavia meeting a terrible fate of being buried alive. James was asked about the monument to Octavia, which he explained he had planned to put in his front yard once it arrived from the sculptor in Italy. But he thought about it more and decided that the statue belonged on the grave of Octavia, high on a hill above Pikeville. James Hatcher also pointed out his own coffin that was on the back porch of his hotel. The reporter mentioned how easily he could speak of death, even of his own. He boldly proclaimed, "I'm getting ready. One might as well make preparations for death as for birth." James Hatcher turned 80 years old on December 22, 1939. 1 week later, he passed away. His 37-page will was filled with business matters, his final wishes, and his trademark quirky and philosophical suggestions for his family. James Trimble noted one of his favorite suggestions in the will was the following management tip for the hotel. Never hire a clerk that smokes a cigarette or wears a belt. They spend all their time lighting matches and pulling up their pants. James Hatcher's young life was filled with sorrow and loss. But in the end, he found a way to press on, face the future he had not envisioned when he and Octavia married and prepared to welcome their first child. It's only fitting that a man who lost so much was so focused on history and the past. With each passing year, his past became more important because it meant he was getting closer to reuniting with the love of his life when he passed from this life to the other side. James Hatcher's funeral was held in his esteemed Hatcher Hotel, with the history of Pikeville and that photo of Octavia on the walls around him. He was laid to rest, just as he wished, at the foot of Octavia's grave. The legend of what happened to Octavia Hatcher may not be true, but the fear looms large over Pikeville. That fear has led many to continue to be cautious of the graveyard where Octavia is buried. Herma Shelton has shared in a piece for the American Hauntings blog that she spent time interviewing residents who live on the hill near the Pikeville Cemetery, who are afraid to this day to walk into that graveyard, won't go near it at night. Herma spoke to one couple who lived in the area for decades, and they've only recently heard weeping sounds in the graveyard at night. Octavia or not, they say it's a disturbing sound, which is why they've agreed to stay away from whatever it is in that graveyard. That mysterious sleeping illness that was rumored to have been the cause of Octavia's death, well, that illness has never been defined. We don't really know what it was. There have been reports of a sleeping illness caused by a fly in other parts of the world, but that theory just doesn't hold water in this case. In December of 2012, Mysteries at the Museum featured Octavia's story and suggested it was toxic fumes from local coal mines that could have made Octavia sick and led to widespread illness in Pikeville. But that claim has never been proven. In researching Octavia's story for her book, Stories of the Forgotten, Infamous, Famous, and Unremembered, Jamie Rubio did share that she contacted the Big Sandy Heritage Center in Pikeville, asked a representative if there was any documentation of Octavia Hatcher having met the horrific fate of being buried alive. She got a reply that, quote, "There are no documents to support the fact that she had this sleeping disease, that she was buried alive, or even that her body was exhumed." One of the quotes James Hatcher had painted on the wall of his hotel reflects how complicated the story of Octavia has become through the years. So complicated that you don't know where the truth ends and the lies begin. That quote on the wall was, "Always tell the truth and you will never have to remember what you said." A legendary quote that's been attributed to Mark Twain and about seven other people through the years. Variations of the quote have been spoken, then printed in countless newspapers and books since the days of Twain, but it's been linked to so many people that you can't be sure of the truth. Just like the legend of Pikeville, Kentucky's Octavia Hatcher. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can see a photo of Octavia and images of the fascinating walls inside the Hatcher Hotel, along with a link to Jamie Rubio's book, which includes the story of Octavia and James Hatcher, in the full show notes at southernmysteries.com. Now, if you're enjoying Southern Mysteries, you can support the show in a few ways. You can start by rating and reviewing the show in your player. You can also share this episode on your social accounts to suggest it to friends and help spread the word. And you can make a financial donation. To help offset the cost of hosting and producing the show, you can tap on the support tab at southernmysteries.com to leave a tip or become a monthly supporter of Southern Mysteries. However you choose to support the show, please know it is appreciated. Thanks for listening.